pray, and then let's sing. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this love about the time you've set aside. Pray that you would take it and use it just to, Lord, work in each one of our hearts and minds. We just thank you, Lord, for not being done with us and forgiving us another day. And I pray you, Lord, as we stand at the start of the week and look down, I pray you, Father, that there'll be something to be done, that we can accomplish, maybe even from our nose at the devil, take a step ahead. We love you and praise you. Please be with Ling and Dr. Shang and Frank, Christine and Mary Ann for Colin, for Carol and Stephen, for John and Catherine, there you go, for Pat and Stephen, for each one of us, for our sister churches, wherever they are, for our brethren, Lord, and especially for Israel at this time. I pray that good people, Lord, would look up and fix their eyes on you and say and do the things that need to be said and done. Bless us, I pray, at this time. You fuel us, comfort us, and encourage us, Lord. And straighten us out if we need. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, let me get my singing glasses on. I don't sing any better, but at least I can see the songs I'm supposed to be singing. The words maybe be a bit clearer. All right. Big hymn book, if you would, gentlemen and lady. It's either 353 or 253. Yeah, we'll do 253. That's a good old one. 253 in the big books. You must be born again. This isn't a new one. Let's make a joyful note.
Jesus, by night, to rest in the way of
this time, if you would. And we are going to be singing, was it number 16? He lifted me. That's it. Well, let's stand as we sing He Lifted Me, hymn number 16 in the Wee Black Books. Let's make a joyful noise. Amen.
Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and on the horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them who were connected to it. Now the Egyptians are men, and not God, and their horses are flesh, and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him. He will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hills thereof. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Turn you unto him from womb, The children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for our sin. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword, not of a mean man, shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited, and shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. Amen. Yeah.
Thank you, Will. Verses, good warning there, to keep your eyes on the Lord and not be dependent upon the things of this world, because they can and will let you down and can be defeated by the Lord God Almighty. Just a reminder, make sure you get one of those wee red prayer lists. Does anybody have anything they would like to add to the red prayer list? We got our private prayers request this morning, John. Do you have any private prayers? None? Well, I'll take you off that then, for now at any rate. Nobody else anything to add? Works for me. Let's have another song then, folks. Let's have another song. Hymn number 20, Mrs. Bradfield, if you would like to come up and play that for us, please. Hymn number 20 in the wee black book. She only touched the hem of his garment. She only touched the hem of his garment that stood beside she stole. Amid the crowd that gathered around him, a straightway she was old. Oh, touched the hem of his garment, and blood we shall be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to me. She came in fear and trembling before him. She knew her Lord had come. She felt that from him virtue had healed her. The one more pick. Was it number 31? The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Let's get us singing that on our feet, if you would, gentlemen and ladies. King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Thank you. four hymns we sang.
Yeah.
Good. We sang three hymns this morning, and they seem to just take up a whole pile of time, and those four hymns seem to take up no time at all. We are in the very last chapter of the very last book of the Bible, if you would like to take and turn to Revelation chapter 22. I have a few thoughts, if you want the title for it, I have Before You Go. That's just Before You Go for our title for the message this evening. The very last chapter, chapter 22, in the book of Revelation. If you would like to join me there and read about the last things that God said to everybody, not just what God had for his people in the book of Malachi before the coming of the Messiah. These are the words that he has for everybody before the Messiah comes back again. Revelation chapter 22. And the word of God says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, See not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Before you go, let's have a word of prayer. Well, if you would you pray for us, please?
Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for the grace of courage of life, Lord. We ask you, Lord, and reveal to you
I move to us, Lord, through thy word, spoken mark, and mark, Lord, give my justice work, Lord, touch our hearts and minds also, Lord. Say so as well in part for this day, Lord, and I bid you be praised and honored and revered in this time, Lord, and throughout the world, Lord, throughout the world as well, Lord. Lord, pray for Jews, Lord, say back in part for this is the honor, and convict the Jews and the Israelis in the homeland, Lord, throughout the world, say back in part for and take Israel as this part time as well, Lord. Say the souls back in part for Israel, Lord. Go for a set of churches, all churches throughout the world, that preach Jesus Christ purely and according to thy word, Lord. Say so many powerful, convict those who are lost, especially the trespass through the doors, throughout the war side, and throughout the hope to say through the past years, Lord. Go for the man Mark was talking to, Lord, yesterday, Lord, convict him by day and bring him to church, Lord. Say so many powerful, Israel, Lord, as a witness as well, Lord. Go for Mark's to deliver the gospel, Lord. Reach out your hearts, Lord, and give us a blessing, Lord. And give us a present to make us our offering. For thy honor, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I don't know if you know, but one of the things that I hope and pray and want to be able to do for everyone that hears my messages is for them to go away with something that is helpful. I have never been, I don't even know if this is the right word, is it an exegetical word? Maybe that's what I am. I have never been a man for seeing the point in preaching a message, a highbrow message that is no good to anybody. I would rather fulfill the promise that Jesus made, first of all, to see people set free from sin and the consequences of sin, and kept free in life. Remember, Monica's friend Pearl said one day something to the effect that Mark's messages are useful, they're helpful. It's not about some far distant land, it's not about some highfalutin thought. These are things that have affected me or strike me based on what's going on in the world day by day, and I hope and pray that by the time I get to chewing them over and mixing in the gospel or the word of God, I'm showing you these things that your faith will be increased in the Lord and in his word. And I got to thinking, before you go into the week, I hope this is a help to you. Because there's a lot going on in this world. There are so many distractions, there are so many different ideas and so much preaching out there. I believe the Lord knew that's what it was going to be like in the last days, and that's why he has given to each of his children the Holy Spirit. So that we don't need someone just to remind us of a portion of Scripture, we have the Holy Spirit to remind us of portions of Scripture throughout the week. Back in days of yore, they didn't walk down the street and see 20 by 10 posters of people promising you'd get all the women or men that you wanted if you had a bottle of Tia Maria at a local party. They didn't have that back then. Yes, they had their immorality and whatnot, but it wasn't so brazen and it wasn't so out there. And people at least had shame about it back in the day, but it's shameless now. I hope this is a help to you. Because as I was reading it, I was thinking, these were the last words that God shared with the whole of mankind. Just like we mentioned about Malachi, which was 400 years prior to Christ actually walking in the world, it's been nearly 2,000 years since Christ walked with his feet in the world. And I thought we would take a wee minute, if you want to put it like that, just to see what this tells us. Before you go, before you close the book and open it again at Genesis, or Genesis and Matthew, or Genesis, Psalms, Matthew, and then the book of Acts, and read through those four portions of the Word of God, whichever way you read your Bible, before you go, you need to know a few things. First of all, we win. Yes, it is. For instance, do you know the best, most enjoyable books, films, even games? It's the ones where the good guys win and the bad guys get beaten. And that's exactly what happens here. The good guys win, the bad guys get beaten, and surely so, they are surely beaten and definitely beaten, and there's never any bother with them again. There are no sequels. It's not like Star Wars where we're going to get three more movies and then we're going to go back in time to the beginning. It's all there. The bad guys had a shot. They were given many an opportunity to change sides, just like we all have been, just like I pray we all have here, and trusted in Christ instead of the world, the flesh and the devil. They've been given many opportunities. And everyone that said, no, the word of God records, and you only have to go back to chapter 20 to find out what happens to them, they lose. It's not like the movies where someone is going to sneak into heaven and start a revolution. It's not like that. The Lord, who sees right down to the marrow, the deepest part of you and I, knows. And this is what he said to us before he said goodbye for the time being. He said, first of all, that there was going to be a tree of life. A tree which drinks from the river of life, which flows from the throne of God. And here's God's promise, that the leaves of the tree of life will be for the healing of the nations. Now, I know for a fact from the little bit of my history that I do remember that Britain and France and Spain have never been friends. Yes, they are on, quotes, friendly terms, but you go back 300 or 400 years, they were at war most of the time because they were traditionally Roman Catholic nations, and Britain separated from the Roman Catholic faith whenever King Henry was not happy about not being able to marry all of his 8 wives. They just weren't having them. So he said, well, fair enough, I'm going to start the Church of England. And he did. And he set himself at the head of the church. And the Church of Ireland. You know the score. There's always been strife between nations. Between the capitalist nations. Between the communist nations. Between the socialist nations. And even between communist nations. There's always been strife. Is it because people are too dark-skinned, or because they have too much money, or they don't have enough, or whatever reason they can find? There's always been strife, even in our own country. The Bible says that'll not be the case anymore. That'll all be gone, because all of that comes from the devil. And every single person that is saved in this world, no matter the nation they come from, they will be at peace with their brother or sister in Christ. The Word of God also says there'll be no more curse. You might not know it, you might not even like it, but the same promise that God gave to Adam back in the book of Genesis, that you will reap the rewards of your work by the sweat of your brow, is still the same today. Before Adam and Eve sinned, or were deceived and sinned, everything was literally handed to them. They had food, they had no need of clothing, the temperature was just perfect. They walked and talked with God, they were innocent, they were pure, they were going to live forever. But then because of their departure from God, God cursed the ground. He said it'll produce thorns, it'll produce weeds. And it is always a struggle. There is always work required. If you want anything, if you need something done, if you want to eat, you'll do it by the sweat of your brow. You will have to do something for it. Will was reading in Isaiah. If you were to read the whole book of Isaiah, you will read a couple of chapters further on in. I can't remember the exact chapter number. Where it talks about the curse being removed when God comes back. But in this portion of God's word, we're talking about a new heaven and a new earth where indwelleth righteousness, where there's no liars, thieves, murderers, or anything like that, and there's no curse. We'll not be having to roll our sleeves up on our robes of righteousness and start plowing a field to plant corn or wheat or whatever it is that people eat, will not be there. It's all gone. Whatever critters they are will be friendly, if indeed there are any critters. And the Bible says that God's servants will serve him. I know a lot of people don't like that, because we don't like the idea of slavery. In this country, we pioneered or led the charge on getting rid of slavery. The slavery that was in the Barbary Coast, the slavery that came from the African coasts, we pioneered the getting rid of it. We don't like the sound of people being servants, but we don't understand what it was to be a servant, to serve your master even as he protected and fed and watered and kept you. But this is not the relationship that God has with us. We are not just servants. We are also kings and priests when it comes to preaching the gospel. We are also beloved children when it comes to calling him Abba Father, Dad, Heavenly Father. I'm in trouble. I need your help, or you'll never guess what happened today, Lord. And I got to thinking about this, because there's even a wee bit of me that doesn't like being told what to do, believe it or not. Monica might have a different version of that story, but none of us like being told, you're wrong, this is the way you should be doing it. Nobody likes that. But if you can't listen to that and take a little bit of creative criticism, you'll never grow. If you're doing something wrong, learn how to do it right and go on. But I was thinking about my own dad, and I remember being little, and I chafed every time he told me to do something. I cut the grass, wash the car, hoover the inside of the car, paint the windowsills. I was so glad when he came around and got plastic windows installed in the house, let me tell you. But I learned how to paint, and I learned how to cut grass, and I learned how to work with petrol and keep my feet and fingers out from underneath that whirring blade. And I learned to throw the electric lead over my shoulder so it didn't get cut under the electric mower. And I learned how to do all of those things because my dad taught me those things. And do you know what? I learned a very valuable lesson too. I used to love coming home at Christmas. And I used to love lanting in, the smell of the turkey and the ham, the roasties. And the old, you know, the big plum pudding steaming in the big black, as I used to call it, the witch's cauldron. I used to love that. And then my mum took ill. She took a stroke. She wasn't able to do that anymore. The first year that I came back, I was annoyed that I had to do all that work. And then I thought about it afterwards and thought, I love my mum and my dad. So this is going to be my gift to her, is that she is still able to host Christmas dinner. And I did most of the heavy lifting, she still did the organizing, and we got Christmas dinner. I served my mother, not because I was a paid servant, because I loved her. And whenever my dad came up, I don't think he ever had to say, would you make me a cup of tea? He said he felt like he never stopped eating whenever we're here, because we eat about four times in our house, in the morning, at lunchtime, about 5 or 6 o'clock, and then about 8:30 or 9 o'clock, a light snack before bed. But any times he asks for a cup of tea, I'm happy to make it for him, because I love him. And when God says his servants shall serve him, there's not going to be anybody cracking a whip, you know, the old there are going to be people saying, does God want a cup of tea? I'm making it this time. It'll be because we love him. A lot of people don't understand Christian service is not a chore. It's a joy to be able to do something for the God that gave us life on the cross of Calvary for us. And the next bit tells us that everything comes from God. The city that we will live in, read the previous chapter, and it talks about how beautiful it is with streets of gold like clear glass. They talk about the streets of gold. and the light of God lighten it all up. It talks about us being saved and sure forever. God's name being in our foreheads. A place where we will be finally at peace with immortal, indestructible bodies. And then as we read on, we read the first of the reminders or affirmations. For the angel said to John, these things are going to happen. You see that in yours in verse 6? These things are faithful and true. They're going to happen. And as it said many times in the Old Testament, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. These things are going to happen. We might not see them in this. We definitely won't see them in this world. But we will, was it Job said, with these eyes, I will see God. My feet will stand on this world in the latter days, and with my own eyes, I will see God in a new and a glorified body. Face to face, I think it actually says face to face. We'll see him face to face. That's crazy. Does anyone remember a fellow called Moses? He had a wee bit of a temper. He was a very meek man. But even Moses, that God spoke with as a man would speak to his friend, couldn't see God face to face. Remember what God said he would do? He said, Moses, you can't look at me. Nobody can look at God and die, and live. So he hid him in the cleft of a rock, and he covered him with his hand. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, as the song sung about that very thing. And he said, whenever I walk past, you can look at my back, but you can't look at my face. It's not that I don't want you to look at my face. With your sin nature, you can't. It's too much for you. Imagine no sin nature. No jealousies, no anger, no pettiness, no thefts, no lies, no immoralities. Just you and God and all your brothers and sisters, everybody on the same page, everybody knowing the God that they put their faith in, everything being perfect. And we have the words of Jesus Christ quite a few times in there reminding us that someday it's going to come quickly. You might be saying, but that was 2,000 years ago. I was talking to someone the other day. And I said to them, it doesn't matter how long you live. The end of your life comes very quickly. Especially when you haven't done anything to prepare for it. It comes very quickly. Surprisingly fast. In fact, so quickly I would say that there are people that read the back pages on the Telegraph on one Saturday night that are in the back pages of the Telegraph the next Saturday night. Jesus will come quickly. And a lot of people are going to be caught in the hall. As we read on through this portion of God's Word, after we have finished with what's going to be happening in eternity, we have a little bit of what's going to be happening right now. Especially in the lives of anybody that would draw breath in this world. Somebody summed it up like this, and he said, as death finds you, eternity keeps you. I want to explain to each and every one of you, and I hope you know, that God does love you. We are all beloved children. If you're saved, you're a beloved, saved by the Holy Spirit, child of the King of Kings, and someday you will walk the streets of gold and you will see all the saved of every generation, and they'll all know you and you'll know them. But God's love stops when your life is over. Judgment begins then for those that hate him. And that's why it says, if anyone's filthy, if anyone is, what does it say, unjust, whenever they step off this mortal coil, they will be unsaved in the endless ages of eternity. And that's just it. Not saved. Making a guest star in Revelation 20 before the great white throne of judgment, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who are destined to be thrown into the lake of fire. That is the word of God. However, for those that step off into eternity, into the hands of the Messiah that gave his life on the cross for them, they're righteous and holy still. And they open their eyes, not in paradise like Lazarus did, but in heaven. Does anyone remember the little promise that God says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord immediately? God says he is coming back. Everything that he started, he's going to fix, or he's going to finish. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and he mentions that a couple of times. And more importantly, he says, make sure people hear this. For every word of the Bible that was written down, nothing of it was ever preached in secret. There are some bits that I think there was one of the angels that was doling out the judgment said to John, don't be writing that down, the words that were spoken somewhere. Don't be writing that down. But the warnings, the doctrines, the prophecies and the promises, tell everybody. It's so important that they hear all of it. And he ends with a little warning. It's that important. Every word of the Bible is that important. That God give a message to the angel, to his son Jesus, who passed it on to the angel, who gave it to John, who wrote it down so that we can read it nearly 2,000 years later. If you muck about with my word, you're done. If you add something to the Bible, do you know what the gospel does? It takes a knife and it guts every other religion in the world. Did you know that? The Christian faith makes a laughing stock of every other religion. It pulls the rug out from underneath them. It guts them. It mocks them. It shows them to be empty and useless. There are people out there that hate Christianity for that and will do their best to remove the free gift of everlasting life from the Word of God, and they'll produce a different version. Oh, this version of the Bible is easier to read. And the subtext in that is this version of the Bible will make you more easily manipulated. You take out the references to Christ dying for your sins, and by faith all you have to do is ask him to save you. They'll take that out. The Ethiopian eunuch that we read about and studied about over the past week, they take the bit out where Philip says to the Ethiopian eunuch, if you believe, there's nothing to hinder you being baptized. They take the bit out where the Ethiopian eunuch says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, which you must believe to be saved. So you can literally believe that Santa sits on his throne and gives people eternities in heaven, and you can be baptized. That's how literally stupid the teachings of some of these churches are. They'll add on a wee bit that puts them in charge. You know, like the Roman Catholic faith would, using Peter as the first bishop and all the other apostles as the layers of the ecclesiarchy between the bishop or the archbishop, the pope, the papa, right the way down to Joe Public. And the Bible said, Jesus said, I hate those things. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I hate that. God said, if you add something to my word to try and get a few quid out of it for yourself, you'll get the plagues written in this book. In other words, you'll be numbered with the lost that will suffer the things that the lost folks suffered. And if you take stuff out of my Bible, stuff that people need, I'll take your name out of the book of life. That's what Jesus said. In other words, you'll be stuck at the great white throne of judgment with all the other lost souls in the face of this world. It's important. And God's encouragement to us, his warnings about how important it is, should have us listening and watching out, making sure that we're sitting in the right church. Do you know you're sitting in the right church tonight? I hope you're good and honourable and If I ever come out with something wackadoodle that you would pull me up on it and be ready to prove it from the Bible, pull me up on it. I'm more than happy to listen to reason. It's important. And God says, it's that important, it's worth your everlasting soul. It's that important. So stick to what God says. Blessed are they that do his commandments. That's what the Bible says in verse number 14. You love the Lord, it'll not be a problem to you to do what God says. If you understand the path that you've been lifted off whenever Christ gave his life for you on the cross and saved your soul, you will understand that that straight and narrow path, the only way to be on it is to do it God's way. That will be a blessing for you whether you know it or not. So before God went home, let me put it another way, before God stopped sending messages to people in this world, I know he still talks with us and helps us day to day, taps us on the shoulder and says, do you remember this wee bit of the Bible? Do you remember that wee bit of the Bible? Or have you ever just opened your Bible and it was at an exact verse that you needed? God still does that. But there's no new doctrines. There's no new teachings. There's nothing, no new prophecies. All that's gone. Whenever God said, don't add anything to it, don't take anything from it, it's perfect just the way it is, he meant the shorter catechism. He meant the longer catechism. He meant the Book of Common Prayer. He meant the Book of Mormon. He means the Quran and all of the perverted Bibles. He means them. My word is sufficient. That's what God said. Sufficient for each and every one of us, for each and every season in our life, for each and every situation we will come across. And God went to such great lengths to leave these last few pages here. We win. We win for sure. No matter what happens to you, your soul is safe and secure, and heaven is your eternal home. But you can also be victorious and joyful in this life too. Just keep doing things God's way. And the reason all the stuff is in the Bible, especially the prophetic things, is so that when you turn on your TV or when you're surfing the web or you're checking the news on your phone, and you see the things that Jesus spoke of, and you see the things that Isaiah spoke of and Jeremiah and Zechariah, and again Jesus spoke of, happening right in front of you, you can say, I'm throwing my lot into this guy here. I'm running the Christian flag up my mast. This is the way I'm going. Thank you, Lord. Don't be done with me. Keep tapping me on the shoulder. Keep speaking to me out of your word. Keep me honest. Keep me right. And I will do my best to grit my teeth and do what needs to be done, even if I don't feel like it, because I know you're right. God loves us. I don't know of any child that never needed a clip or a sore behind or directed or taught. And you know what? Until we stand in front of him in glory, we're going to need all that. And God has it for us. So before he went, he said, by the way, what's it to say to you? A wee cup of tea before you go. A wee verse of scriptures before you go. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on the world. Remember whose side it is that you're on, that you are going to win, and that there is a hope in heaven for each and every one of us. A place where you can let your hair down, a place where you can be at peace, and where there'll be plenty of like-minded people. And a dad that loves us and wants the best for us and provides everything for us. We're going to win. Battle's been fought and won on the cross of Calvary. Yes, it's been tough ever since, but we won. We won. And when you make Christ part of your life, you have to do it every day. I wish it was a one-off, one and done, but you have to do it every day. Life might be tough, but it's pleasing to God. It makes Him happy. And you know what? If that's what it takes, I am going to do my very best to do what God said. He has never let me down. I have let Him down many times. We all have. He has never let me down. And I am glad He's patient and long-suffering, because otherwise none of us would be here tonight. We'd all be dead. We'd all be hit by lightning or run over by buses. But you're loved. You're cared for. And you're thought of. And you're prayed for. And you're fought for. And you're interceded for. And you have been made a book full of promises that you only have to open and take God at His word. So do that and enjoy the life and make the most of the life that's been set before you. God loves you, folks. Thank you for your good time and attention. Appreciate it very much. Closing hymn we'd like to take in turn is 353. You're fit. Stand with me as we sing From Every Stormy Wind. 3-5. For the leaflets that have gone out and the opportunities that the people have had, that they wouldn't be done yet, Lord, in their lives. Please save us. Please take and use us, Lord, as much as you can. Whenever you look at us and you call upon us, Lord, find willing and joyful children ready to obey a loving and protecting Father. Lord, I know that every lost soul is going to go to hell in the lake of fire, but Lord, I pray that because of the things that we do here in Bethlehem, the things that are done in other churches around the world, that people would be given another chance. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the good sense to accept your Son as Savior. I pray that you would bless us as we part company and go separate ways, and that you'd see us safely back at the next appointed time. Please be with our absent brethren and our brothers and sisters across the world, and please deliver them the same blessing. Please protect and provision Israel. Please, Lord, give them everything they need and keep them safe too. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. 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 Folks, God bless you. Shake hands, fellowship, all of that.